Chapter 23, The Ashcombe Anti-German League. We'd been expecting air raids and bombing as soon as war was declared. Uncle Bert built an Anderson shelter in the garden and made it quite cosy inside, but for some reason nothing much happened for months and months and months. Then one morning in April 1940, I came down for breakfast and saw the headline in Uncle Bert's newspaper, "Hitler invades Norway and Denmark." I turned cold. He was coming closer. What would happen now? But once again, nothing much did seem to happen. Troops were sent to Norway and there were naval battles, but it never really seemed clear which side was winning. Denmark was under Nazi control, though. I tried to avoid hearing the news. After all, I could do nothing about it, and hearing about Nazi victories only gave me nightmares. When the wireless was switched on, I left the room if I could and went upstairs to read. If I was helping in the kitchen and couldn't get away, I recited times tables in my head to drown out the announcer's voice. Anyway, Norway and Denmark were a long way away. But then, in May, Germany invaded Holland and Belgium overnight. When we heard the news on the wireless the next morning, I felt paralysed with terror. "All those poor, poor people," said Auntie Rose. "Their lives ruined, and all for a few madmen hell-bent on world domination." What would happen to the lovely Dutch ladies at the train station? Had they been Jewish too? Thank goodness I had managed to bring Ezra to England. I wondered where he was now. He must have grown so much. He might even be walking. He would think his foster parents were his real parents. When his mother came to fetch him after the war, she would be a stranger to him. Winston Churchill took over from Neville Chamberlain as Prime Minister, which pleased everybody. "He's a proper leader," said Uncle Bert. "Old Hitler won't be able to get away with anything now Winston's in charge. You wait and see." But even Churchill didn't seem to be able to stop the Nazis. The Dutch surrendered after only a few days, and then it got even worse. The Germans invaded France. France! What if they reached Paris? Where was Uncle Paul now? Would the Nazis find him? And what would they do to him if they did? I tried to push the thoughts out of my mind, but it was impossible when all the talk in the school playground was about the Germans invading us by parachute. "They dropped into Holland in the dead of night, wearing Dutch and British army uniforms," said Ernie Hibbert. "Thousands of them, all disguised as British and Dutch soldiers." "My nan says they're going to land all over England disguised as nuns," said Margaret. "If you see a nun, check what she's wearing on her feet. They have army boots on under their habits," she says. "That's what gives them away." "Sometimes they come disguised as vicars," said Nancy. "You can't trust no one no more." "You can trust our vicar," said Dorothy. "He's been here years and years." Nancy rolled her eyes. "I wasn't talking about him. I'm in newcomers, strangers." "Like her," said Billy Townsend, pointing to me. Everyone's eyes turned on me. "In Holland," said Billy, "there were all these Germans what had been living in Holland for years and years, good as gold. No one had a clue they were secretly Nazis all along. And when the German parachutists landed, those Germans all came rushing over to help them take over Holland. I read it in the paper. That's why Churchill's rounded up all the Germans living over here. Sent them all to internment camps, so they can't help the parachutists when they come." "Only if they're over 16, said Margaret. "It's said in the paper. All enemy aliens over the age of 16.
"Exactly," said Billy triumphantly. "It's just like I said. That's why Hitler's using schoolgirls for spies. No one ever suspects girls. I bet she's collecting information the whole time and sending it back to Hitler. Stanley said he saw her drawing the church the other day. What's she drawing the church for except to send the drawing off to Hitler so he can bomb it?"
"Don't be an idiot," said Molly.
"If Hitler wants to bomb the church, he doesn't need Anna's drawing to help him. I'm sure Hitler knows what a church looks like." "My dad's out in France fighting the Nazis," said Billy, "and he says he doesn't see why he should be risking his life to protect this country against the Germans when some German girl's allowed to live over here and go to our school, and all the time she's sending information back to Hitler. I don't believe she's a refugee at all. She doesn't look like a refugee. She's not poor. Look at her clothes. And she can play the piano. Poor kids don't play the piano."
"I hate Hitler," I said, my stomach churning. "I had to leave my home because of Hitler."
Billy raised his eyebrows meaningfully. "I bet you did." What's that supposed to mean? Said Nancy.
Nothing, said Billy. I'm just saying, I bet Hitler was very happy for you to come over here and send information back to him. I bet that suited him just fine.
Everyone was looking at me. Even Molly didn't say anything. Nor did Nancy, or Margaret, or Dorothy.
Churchill thinks he's sorted everything out, said Billy, locking up all the Germans over 16, when there's kids like her allowed to live free, drawing targets, and sending letters back to Germany full of secret information. I bet old Hitler's laughing his head off, fooling Churchill with that trick. But you don't fool me, German girl. I know what you're up to.
The bell rang for the end of break. I felt sick. My head throbbed and I couldn't think. Miss Marshall set us a comprehension on an extract from Treasure Island. I kept trying to read it, but the words were just meaningless marks on the page. In the row in front of me, Billy was writing a lot more than usual. Every now and then he nudged Ernie and showed him what he'd written. Ernie nodded in approval, and sometimes he pointed to something on the page and whispered to Billy. Occasionally he turned and glanced at me. I dropped my pencil over the front of my desk and leaned forward to pick it up, trying to read what Billy had written. Ernie nudged him and he covered the book with his arms. But not before I'd seen my name written on the paper. I sat at my desk, my head throbbing. At the end of the lesson, Billy tore the page out of his exercise book, folded it up and put it in his pocket. At dinner time, I saw him showing it to other people in the playground. Other people started looking at me suspiciously. I stayed with Molly, Nancy and Dorothy, and he didn't come up to us. But I saw Margaret on the edge of a group huddled around Billy. During afternoon lessons, there were a lot of whispered conversations going on. Margaret was whispering to Molly the whole time we were copying a map in geography. When I put my hand up to answer a question in arithmetic, the room went silent. Everybody was looking at me, scrutinising my face, listening intently. Even my friends. Even Molly. Just before the end of school, I saw my chance. Billy took his jacket off and hung it on the back of his chair. A folded piece of paper stuck out of the pocket. I dropped my pencil on the floor and ducked under my desk to retrieve it. As I picked it up with one hand, I pulled the piece of paper out of Billy's pocket with the other. Then I sat at my desk again, tucking it into the pocket of my dress. Molly chatted away as usual on the walk home, but I had my hand on the folded paper the whole time, and I barely heard a word she said. As soon as we got home, I went to the bottom of the garden, sat under the apple tree and unfolded it. It was a list, in Billy's neatest handwriting. The Ashcombe Anti-German League. Evidence for Anna being a German spy. 1. She's German. 2. She's a schoolgirl, perfect disguise, no one would suspect her. 3. She sends letters to Germany, probably coded messages to Hitler. 4. She gets letters from Germany, written in German, probably coded instructions from her spy masters. 5. She's drawn pictures of places in Ashcombe and sent them to Germany, probably to help the German bombers find their targets. 6. She speaks nearly perfect English, trying to pass as an English girl so she can spy for Germany without being suspected. 7. She reads English books, probably trying to learn things about England to tell Hitler so he can train other spies to act like English people. 8. She's quiet and very well behaved, trying to fit in and not cause suspicion. 9. She says she came to England because her family was being persecuted by Hitler. But how do we know? There's no evidence she was persecuted. She brought fancy dresses and she can play the piano, so we know she's not poor. Evidence against Anna being a German spy. None.